Hello everyone, I'm your host. I need no introduction, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm Lonnie Brown, and we are here in the planet Solo Dolo this time around. Sorry for the delay on this episode. This episode is kind of going out a little bit after some things have happened, basically. Basic little gist is that Jones came into town. So, come here. For just a little tidbit of knowledge about us, if you haven't picked up on it already, but a ton of us are actually not in the same area, which is why there's no, like, studio-esque videos of us, like, talking around, like, a chair or whatever when we do this podcast. Yeah, a lot of us are spread around. Some of us are in Costa Rica, some of us are in North Carolina, some of us are all the way in Florida. Like, we're all over the place, for the most part. We're even international, obviously, because, you know, mention that. But so the deal of one of us, one of our own, showing up into another one of our territory, invading, if you will, we have to kind of show them the love and respect we can. Basically, on the day of recording, it was pretty much a last minute decision by me to basically say, hey, we should probably prioritize the fact that this person is in our area and we can actually talk to them, than over trying to talk about stuff that we usually talk about all the time and doing the podcast, that is. Now, was it a rare opportunity to do it with everyone together in the same room? Well, not everyone, but like at least that cast could be in the same room. Yeah, but at the same time, we wanted Jones to actually enjoy being in our hometown. Well, in our, you know, base of operations currently where we're at. So let him do his thing, had him actually, you know, see the sights and enjoy himself there. But once again, it was a last minute decision, so there is no like bad blood. We definitely wanted to do this, but I decided to do it like this because it'll be faster. And at the same time, I'm not sure if this is gonna be a full episode or a mini-sode or you know, how it's gonna play out. So we're gonna see how it goes, but I am riding by myself on this one, like I said before. So I guess strap in, because technically I got a lot of stuff we could talk about. So, first off, we're not going to get into the news. Obviously, we hung out with Jones. That's a big one. Big fun times. We've hung out with him before. Some of us have actually hung out with him before. A ton of us are online playing, as I've explained. Nice to know that everyone was able to get along even in person, but that's not too crazy to think about because we get along on here in Discord and everywhere else that we have. So just remember that online friends are real friends too, and love them. Love them as much as you love the people around you. Because relationships are relationships nonetheless, whether you see them or not. Now, I guess we'll get into the fact that, like, obviously, I have been reading a little thing that I have talked about on the podcast before called Just a Goblin, right? Now, that's back. It's come back for its season 2, and it's been back for a little bit now, but I haven't really gotten into the ability to discuss it with you guys, so I'm about to do that right now. So, as always, if you aren't reading Just a Goblin, you should probably go read Just a Goblin. Now, check it. As far as this new season is considered, I like where we're going. Alright? So, not only, and minor spoilers, I'm not gonna obviously push out big ones, but the setting of this one, or what's basically known as this arc, is known as the Infinity Prison, which so far, as a location, A, cool ass name, B, horrible place to be for obvious reasons. Our boy Nog has found himself in quite the predicament this time around, and I'm actually really curious how they're going to get out of this situation. As well as, and again, minor spoilers, but at the same time, not, as well as learning more about the fact that there are more than just one person with the system. That's actually several more people with the systems. So it's actually kind of interesting to get to a bit more into that. It's quite fascinating. I like the warden. I like the fact that the warden looks like Heihachi. He just straight up looks like Heihachi Mishima. You could not tell me otherwise. obviously, the Infinity Prison is meant to I guess it's for the worst criminals is what we'll say. So that way we don't give away too many story details for those that don't know. But it's for the worst of the worst criminals, and it's supposed to be from the outside for rehabilitation of those criminals. But we come to find out really quickly that on the inside, not so much the case. So, as we know, they have things basically happening where they're forced to fight in what is known as the Warden Games, I believe, which is a death game, essentially, that is going to be really interesting to see, again, how they get out of this. The prison is doing a really good job at expanding the world, because we're talking about different people and monsters from all over the place now conjured in this one location. So, we're getting to see things like djinns and different things that we didn't really know about so far, that we assumed probably were around, but didn't really have an understanding of, like, where they stood as far as sentience and things like that go. So, like, we're getting ogres again, but we know about the ogres because of the last arc, things like that. Now, obviously, I'm saying this with some idea that you know what is happening in Just a Goblin. I'm thinking about doing a smaller project that actually goes over what happened in season one, as far as, like, probably a couple other webtoons that we go through. So we'll see where we go with that. I'm trying to figure out the details and how I'm going to work with that one. But for now, go read Just a Goblin. It's really good. Like I said before, it's on season two. So not only did you have a big gap so that you could catch up, but now you have a bigger reason to catch up, because now we're moving on to better things. And when that first season starts to happen more, get, you know, further back in the past, it becomes common knowledge, and I don't want you to get spoiled on what people are going to consider to be common knowledge, but to you is brand new, because it's the story that you're going through, you know, you feel me, you feel me? So go check that out, go do that. Other thing I've been playing is a lot of Gigantic. So basically, Gigantic came out, well, the Rampage Edition. That game came out in a kind of a rough state. The servers, well, I say rough state, the servers were having some issues, basically. Just surprisingly more popular than people were able to ever realize it would be. So that was a problem initially for the first couple of days. But after a little bit, they added some Asian servers in, kind of loosened it up. People were able to start getting into some games. Now that I've gotten into some games again with Gigantic, because keep in mind, this used to exist before they brought it back. So please, by all means, me personally, I'm telling you to go play and, well, go buy Gigantic, because I want it to continue and keep getting support, because it is, and I will put my bias out there, my personal favorite hero shooter slash MOBA, which is, as we know, I don't like MOBAs. You have to hide the fact that it's a MOBA for me to actually, you know, play it. For it to be my favorite, it must mean that there's something really cool there. Now, like I said, I really like the world and characters of Gigantic, but I also like its gameplay. So obviously, this is coming from a person that enjoys Gigantic, but I really, and I want you to understand my bias when I say it, but at the same time, I am definitely promoting this game in the sense of being like, I want more people to play against and fight against and go against and, you know, play with, so to speak. I want it to be good. I want it to be popular. I want it to be sustainable so I can play it for as long as possible. I definitely have a stake in this race, even though I have no actual connection to any of the developers or anything. Like, I'm not sponsored. I just want this game to continue to exist. I don't want it to go into the ways of Rumbleverse. Goodbye, Rumbleverse. I cared very deeply about you. You was a cool game. Unfortunately, you're gone, and I can't touch you anymore, but it's like that. But the fun thing about all of this is that I haven't actually gotten to the gameplay for it. Like I said, it's a hero shooter-esque game, so we have characters who are both melee and ranged, as well as supports. We don't have the same, we don't have the same structure as most other ones, like most MOBAs, and most hero shooters for that matter. We have three main tier classes for this. So, yes, we do have tanks, but they're not considered that. So we have, well, actually, no, I take it back. We have tanks, we have DPSs, essentially, and then we have supports. That's it. It's just those three. Everyone falls into, like, that kind of category, and tends to be kind of a mixture between what you're usually, well, actually, I said it wrong. They're not tanks, they're frontliners. There's a difference. But everyone tends to be a mixture or a mash of one of the things that traditionally are the ideas of what you think of when you think of a hero shooter or you think of a MOBA. So, obviously, we have frontliners, but we have defensive frontliners. And then we have aggressive frontliners. Now, they're not broken up in that way, but, like, the way that they act and do things, you can kind of just tell the difference. So, some people, more defensive, make walls, get a bunch of armor. You jump in, make a lot of attention, keep people out, right? Supports, obviously. The one I'm in, I think it's Alicing. She's a melee character who has a stand, essentially, that goes and just heals people. Now, that stand is aggressive and likes to attack the shit out of people as well, but just it being in an area and you throwing that into a group of people who are fighting, you are now healing your allies and technically participating because it's fighting for you. But she also runs around with a giant sword and she can swing it at people, right? Things like that are what we're dealing with as far as, like, you know, what people can be. I can't remember what the archer's name is because I don't play him, but he's like a reindeer looking guy who essentially has his own like pool that lets him heal himself while also he's doing his bow thing from a distance and shooting. But apparently being in that pool also gives you like super jumps as well, so it's his escape as well as his heal, so it's actually really cool in that like regard. But like I said, basically the idea is, because that's just getting into what the classes are, things like that. But everyone's a mishmash, right, of something different. And a lot of these characters exist before. There are two new characters and one new map that they're adding in this edition. And then we'll see if more get added. There's clearly a slot for more. There's clearly slots for more, actually. And I'm hoping that we can get to that point because I want to see this game flourish. Now, the other thing about this is, and what makes this really fun, is the fact that there are two modes now. They have a rush mode and they have clash. So clash being the traditional sense of what gigantic is, which is even more of the sense of what a MOBA is, where you level up and you choose your build for your character. You can go either or, which each of your moves basically, so they pretty much have a, three-tier technically, because you have your basic, right? You go up one, and then you go up another one, and then that move is leveled out, right? So when you level up, you choose which one you want to go, as far as, like, which path certain abilities get. But you could do that with every single one of your abilities, basically. So, in most senses, I'm pretty sure that's nothing new for most people that play MOBAs, obviously. Because that's the whole deal. It's about building your character and doing things like that. But, like, that's trying to just get the idea to other people who aren't really adjusted to those. But at the same time, it is very action focused. It's not so much point and click. It's you're shooting at something or you're slashing at something. You're hitting people. You can dodge. There's a dodge in the game. This all costs stamina, which only takes away when you're in combat, but not so much when you're out of combat. It's really fascinating on that one. But you have jumping and dodging and using all your abilities. That's not your basic attack. All of those cost stamina, so you got to keep that in mind when you're trying to escape. But that's kind of the deal with the system. So you're constantly moving around, and basically you have two giant monsters on either side of the playing field that you are attempting to take out by powering up yours so that they can go over there and mess that other giant up. Just fuck them up as much as possible. So with that being said, the fun aspect comes into play where you have Clash and Rush. Like I said, Rush is the more fast-paced one. Everyone starts off at level 10. There's already preset towers, so you don't have to go put up the preset towers, and I'll explain towers in a second. And then Clash is the one where you have to go collect orbs and then set up these towers. Everyone has the ability to set these towers up, and essentially they could be anything from healing to revealing enemies to making walls so that people cannot go from a certain direction. It's really cool, right? Locks off paths, makes it easier to defend, forces people into a specific area. Quite smart, actually. I personally always recommend putting the healing one up, because when you gotta make a tactical retreat sometimes you gotta make a tactical retreat, and you just need to get to that healing as soon as possible. But the wall one, like we just mentioned, smart move, right? Makes sense. Stops people from flanking, stops people from going around you, people from finding other ways, right? Now, obviously, we're ranting about Gigantic a lot because I enjoy it, obviously. And I want to just mention the fact that it's pretty fire, clearly. But if it's not something for you, don't, you know, if you're hearing this and a lot of it just doesn't sound like it's your cup of tea, I mean, I recommend giving it a shot, but don't worry about it. It's $20, right? It's not a steep asking price, but it's still money on the table. So, you know, look into it, do your own research, because I'm just giving a brief overview of what is the game. But that doesn't mean that you're going to inherently fall in love with it as much as I have, because I've played it before years ago, and then it was taken away from me. So the fact that I'm getting back, I'm actually elated and kind of just really wanted to do well simply because of that. Now, as far as what else I've been doing, I mean, we were watching a couple different things right now. Obviously, X-Men 97 is crazy. I saw that fifth episode. I mean, I was watching the whole time. But I was there. I cannot spoil that on this podcast. I can't do that. Hear me out. I really can't do that. But that shit was fire. Yes. And I highly recommend that if you liked the original X-Men series and you are not checking out 97, you are doing yourself a disservice. For real. And that's not even me trying to like really hype up the series. It's doing such a good job at adapting and moving forward with a bunch of that stuff while still keeping the same characterizations of the characters that once were and aging up a little bit, not too much, right? It's not doing anything too crazy. It does understand the fact that, like, as much as you can show your kids the original 97 series, well, 92 series, I think, is when it initially comes out, and moving into the 97 series is supposed to be a sequel to that, that continues. It's doing more mature themes, but it's not, you know, it's not breaking the bank. It's not pulling a Samurai Jack, and there's nothing wrong with pulling a Samurai Jack, but it just allows it. You know what I mean? It just does it a little bit. A smoother transition is the best way I can describe it. Because Samurai Jack is still good. That last season is still pretty fire. I mean, I'm saying still, like, it never wasn't. But, like, it's still great. Regardless of the fact that it just changes tone significantly going into the next one. Still same, still keeps the same feel, obviously. But, you know, the maturity rating definitely goes up on it. I'm not gonna play any games like it doesn't. X-Men 97, its maturity rating does go up, but we're talking like from like PG-13, PG, I think PG-15 is a thing, is it? It's not too bad, right? Like, we'll say PG, yeah, we'll say it's actually more like it goes from like PG-10, right? Like, let's say the original one is like a PG-10. I don't know what the exact rating. I should probably look that up. PG-10 to like PG-13. So they introduce a little bit more, but not like a ton more, while still managing to do, which I will say, they are doing a really good job, in my opinion, at adapting storylines that are really iconic for the X-Men quickly. In a decent fashion, in a good pace fashion, without actually damaging those stories. So, like, for instance, if anybody knows about the Trial of Magneto, it adapts that very well. It gives it the proper time it needs, but it also moves in a faster pace, because the Trial of Magneto is like one episode, right? But like, maybe that's all we need. Same thing with the, Inferno. That's what it is. The Inferno storyline from the X-Men. If you're familiar with the Inferno storyline, that took a while. They managed to do that in like two episodes. And honestly, it works. All things considered, Inferno could be its own season, but it doesn't need to be. You know what I mean? And I will stop there because I don't want to talk about any other storylines that they are currently adapting. Because that's going to be its own thing. But like, currently, fire, banger. If you're not doing it, like I said, disservice to yourself. For those who just simply like the X-Men, I'm not going to lie, you should probably be watching this anyway. It's not like we got a lot of X-Men stuff going on right now. I mean, we have X-Men stuff in the comics, but like, the Wolverine's game's not due for a while. And I'm going back through X-Men Legends 2 right now with Aaron. So like, I don't know what else we got besides that. If you're an X-Men fan, I really, like, the 97 series is like pretty much the best thing we got going right now. So if you're an X-Men fan, like, you know, it's you're already in the comic books. There's nothing else for you to be doing besides watching this. And that's not me trying to hype it up like tremendously. I'm just like, you just should be watching it. If you're not an X-Men fan, I don't know what to tell you. Though I do have something I want to actually get off my chest about it, because I saw this and I kind of want to just make a response to it. Now, it's not towards any direct person per se, but there is a group of people, I don't know why there's a group of people, that think that the X-Men have gone woke with 97 specifically, probably because of some like some coding things that are happening, right, with how certain people act and things like that. Certain characters, I guess, are a little coded in certain ways, not specifically, you know, confirming anything, but everyone knows about, like, you know, codings is what we'll say. My response to that is, hey guys, I don't know if you ever caught on or really paid attention to what the X-Men are, but the X-Men are like the proper definition of woke. Like, their entire existence is about being the oppressed group that exists in society. And if you somehow miss that, I don't know what to, I mean, personally, I would have to say you're kind of stupid. But, like, that's, like, the whole point. That's, like, the entire point. Like, that's why I'm, like, okay, how do you enjoy the X-Men, then? If, and that's, it's like weird, because it's not that like the X-Men are woke, but like, quote unquote, in like the way that people dislike it, I guess is what I should say, but like they are, like that's like what they've always been, you know what I mean? Like they're an allegory for minorities of any kind, whether it be sexual, racial, like all of it. It's like the whole point. So if you somehow miss that subtext, which I can't even truly consider it subtext with how integral it is to their creation, like, what are you doing? It's the best thing I could say for you. Like, what are you doing? Like, do you watch things with eyes or a brain? And is that, I mean, it might be a little insulting, but it's like, I mean, like, it's like right there. it's like right there. Like, it's not hidden at all. So it's kind of weird to have that sentiment be popping up recently. I don't know why that's a thing. I just don't understand it. I'm really confused by it. And my mistake, if we have addressed this in another podcast, but it just came to me and I'm like, I don't really understand how people are not getting the picture. You know what I mean? But that's X-Men. Let's see. Oh, well, like I said, we're going through X-Men Legends 2 with Via Darren. That's fun. I debated on streaming that one, but instead, we streamed recently Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, the Battle Nexus. So for anybody that's a fan of 2003 Turtles, which I'm a big fan of 2003 Turtles. Like, let's get this off my chest. So, yes, the classic Heroes in a Half Shell theme song is the most iconic one ever. I get it. People like that. I don't care. The best one to me is that 2003 I Love Being a Turtle. That one, fire. Banger every time. It's been too long. Now, if you're a fan of the 2003 Turtles, going back to that game is A, way harder than it needs to be. Jeez. Like, it's not like the hardest turtle game. We all know about the SNES one, right? But, like, it is surprisingly. It has its age, right? Still fun. We were playing it in four player co-op, so we were doing it with the whole squad on a legal PS2. We'll say that. We were playing it on a legal PS2 and enjoying our time with that one. But go check out the stream, like I said. That one was a fun time. We had a lot of ups and downs with that one. Had a lot of fun. But for the most part, it's been a fun ride. I don't know if we're gonna finish it. We might actually try to finish it, depending on how far we are in the game already. Not gonna lie. But had a fun time, enjoyed ourselves, really doing like some cool stuff with that one. So again, 2003 Turtles rock. If you ever notice, the 2003 Turtles go through like so much crap that like as much as the other ones, because the other one, don't get me wrong, after 2003, I think actually I think the 3D one on Nickelodeon and Rise are really good follow-ups, honestly. But like 2003 Turtles just goes through so much. Like, this is like we started the game and it just picks up with like everything from Shredder to like the underground and those monsters and that, and then the space stuff. And it's like, damn, the turtles go through so much in that series. They like cover so much because I remember all of it from like being a kid and looking at it, being like, yeah, no, I mean, I don't even know how we got here. Like, I would miss episodes as a kid and come back and be like, we're in space. I don't know how we got here. It's cool. Remember, I had a break from that one and came back when they had the one where they were in the future, where and then I was confused by that, and then they went back to the sewers, and I was like, I'm even more confused because I didn't get to see the episodes when we went back or two. And then, for some reason, I always missed the important ones that were the transitional periods. I just came back and we're like, this is where we're at now. But fun time going through that. Big fun's playing that again. So we have the third one, and I want to play the third one because I only played the first one growing up, which is why we're not playing the first one. Which to most people might be like, why are we not just going from one to two to three? As a kid, I played the first one, so I don't really need to play that one again. And yes, we could put it on stream, but I want to play the ones I never played. So you know, get the vision on that. But yes, PS2 Ninja Turtles, fire. Go check out the stream on that one. What else do we got? I'm trying to remember. I think, in all honesty, that's it. Because I've been trying to go see Monkey Man for a minute. I want to see it. I just haven't got around to doing it quite yet. Been busy with a lot of stuff, to be honest. Oh, by the way, I guess I should probably say this too. One of the things that should also be announced, and I'll probably put it on the Instagram as well so that you guys can see, is the PS1 shirts, the collaboration that we were talking about, kind of sort of. That's a thing now. So if you guys want to pick up the PS1 styled hoodies and fleeces, you can head over there to paper underscore action and put in your order for them. They're gonna be still $20. There's gonna be two variants. Actually, there's gonna be three variants. Four variants? Four variants. There's going to be the cheaper variant is still gonna be $20, which is the normal hoodie, but in gray or black, because people want black, which is fair. Which is gonna be gray, which is, yeah, so it's gonna be in PlayStation gray, PlayStation black, with the logo that is very much looking like the PlayStation 1 classic. I think I'll probably have to do another one at some point for that PS2, And I don't really know how the PS3 one would work because it's just silver. But like, we'll see how that works. But gotta do one for a PS2 at some point, just because I'm thinking about doing one for Xbox as well, so don't worry, guys. But that one's a fun one. It exists. That's gonna be 20. The other ones are going to have a nice cool back logo on the back, as well as your nice little imprint. And those would be a little bit more, though the final prices have not been finalized because I have to go through and look at exactly what everything will be for that one. It's basically those ones you could put in your orders for them, but they're like pre-orders, whereas like the classic logo style with how we usually do it is already available, essentially. We can ship them off. You put in your order, we can ship them off almost like immediately. But besides that, because we're talking about hoodies and stuff like that, we can probably get into oh yeah, I was gonna say the news, but the Fallout show is out now. I haven't watched the new episodes, but the boys will probably be mentioning that next time around. I haven't gotten a chance to look at it personally, but I've heard nothing but they've been talking about how good it is so far. So good reviews on that so far. I think it'd be a fun one to stream considering the Halo's over. So maybe that's the next one. We'll see. I'm debating on it. It kind of fits our repertoire genuinely right now, and I think it might be the perfect thing to do. So we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully it's good. I haven't taken the proper look, and Aaron and Pele usually are our lore dudes when it comes to that kind of stuff. So they'll hit us up and let us know how the series is doing while we watch it. If we watch it, certainly. But that might be the plan. I think I'm looking at that one because right now we don't have a show to watch. I mean, we have shows, but we don't have a show to watch. Next one is also another one, but we've already started it, and we're kind of be weird to start after episode 5. You know what I mean? That's something everybody would have wanted to have a big reaction to. So we'll see how that plays out. Now, let's get on. Actually, now let's get on to the news because there's always something I keep remembering about or doing about. I played Unicorn. I did play Unicorn. I remembered that too. But neither here nor there. We'll get on to the news. So let's take a look. Let's take a look. We're going to do like a full rundown because it doesn't. We got enough. So I believe we have Enter the Garden, which. Let me see. Okay, I remember this one. Let me open up the proper description for it so I can chat about you this to you guys properly. Hey YouTube, come on, work out. Work for me, bro. Okay, there we go. So, Enter the Garden is a three-part anthology series by I'm not gonna attempt to pronounce these names. But basically, it's an animated with a three-part anthology series that looks super cool. It's literally the full thing is called Enter the Garden, The Waiting Man. I highly recommend checking out that trailer. It looks beautiful, genuinely. And I believe it's from the same people that did same studios that did One Piece Red, which should let you know that it's going to be really pretty. Really pretty. But, I mean, as always, I like anthologies. Anthologies are always kind of, they just go hard, genuinely. So, we'll see what's up with that. By all means, go check it out. It's only just episode one, it looks like, is what they say for the thing. So, that's gonna be kind of fun. We have the Marvel Rivals trailer for Yozgard. Which is basically just Asgard, but like it's a portion of it. It's a map reveal, essentially. Nice and cool to see more. We've also had a ton of leaks of like people coming into the game as well. I'm not gonna get too deep into them because I haven't looked through the full list of the leaks for who's coming to Marvel Rivals. But knowing that like we have the Asgard map that we saw in the original one, and I'm super looking forward to just playing an Overwatch type game with superheroes I care about. And hopefully non-shitty work environments because it'd be better than that. Not that Overwatch doesn't have characters that are like fun and interesting, but like It's the fact that they have characters that are fun and interesting and just don't do anything with it, you know, like a single player campaign. It's crazy. It's like a great way to explore your characters and actually show them off and get them to do things. And, you know, it's kind of the selling point of what Overwatch 2 was supposed to be, but, you know, people just don't want that clearly. They just don't. Because why else would they cancel it? But Marvel Rivals kind of works out in its way because, I mean, obviously they don't have to do that. You guys already can explore those worlds in plenty of other ways. There's years of comic books, multiple TV series, and movies that exist that you can just know these characters in. So, like, doesn't matter why they're fighting each other in this thing, really. I mean, they're gonna give us somewhat of a justification, but like, it's just gonna be fun. Who wants to play as Spider-Man? I do. I'm trying to play as Black Panther too. Loki's in the game. Play as him. Magneto's gonna be in it. Play as Magneto. You like Storm? Play as Storm. We even got deep cuts. Got Penny Parker in Spider, and what's her name? The Snow one. She's new. I can't remember her name right now. Luna Snow, I think it is. Something like that. She's cool already, so I will say that. And I'm looking forward to whoever shows up. We're gonna get Venom apparently, from what I saw a little bit of. Dope. I want Venom. I want Miles too. Like, let me get a bunch of Spider people. Actually, nah, we can chill out on the Spider people. I'll take Miles and Venom, and I think we should probably chill out. He's like, yeah, granted, I'm getting the ones that I want, but like, you know, Silk would be cool. I think Silk would be a cool add. And, you know, after that, actually, we don't even need Silk because Penny's in the game. And that sounds weird, but yeah, like Penny's in the game, so we don't actually need Silk to be there. But I think she should be in more things. That's what I feel about that one. But moving on, we also have another Visions of Mana trailer. The game looks awesome. Okay, so I like Visions of Mana. I like the Mana series. I need to properly play these games officially because I love how they look. I love their aesthetics. I've played demos of them and like their gameplay for almost all of them. And some, for some reason, have not locked in on buying one of them. And I don't know why. So this one, which looks even better than the previous ones, I need to touch. I just need to because I've been slacking on this entire series. And it exists for a reason, so I always say just go ahead and check it out. They have the official Japanese trailer, so it's just letting you know that this is going to be in Japanese. And if you're an English speaker, actually, if you're speaking any language besides Japanese, you won't understand it. Let's see. We also have Soul Singer Envoy of Death, which, if I remember anything about this game. Okay, so we have an early access trailer. Basically, seeing it's a Wild West themed roguelike first person shooter that's currently on Steam. You can go ahead and check it out, actually. Which off rip, you said the words roguelike and first person shooter, which is not a unique combination, but it's rare enough that I want to try it if it makes any sense. Because I like playing regular roguelikes, and B, first person shooters are fun, I actually do really like them. Game in general looks really nice, and the idea of Mystic Western. I mean, we've talked about this before. Magic with gun is kind of a good combination, and then on top of that, you're doing magic with gun in the time period in which guns are like the coolest thing, right? So, you know, magic cowboys are kind of fire. Van Helsing-esque. Actually, Van Helsing is not exactly in Western. Like a Western time period, is it? It's kind of got the aesthetic, but it's not really there. But deadass, like, this is very much inspired by, like, Van Helsing and cowboys and things like that. Clearly, it's Soul Slinger, crying out loud. So, that's gonna be kind of fun. Actually, it'd probably be really fun. So, go check that one out. Look at the trailer for it, see if you like it. We also have the Princess Peach Showtime Spotlight trailer, which I'm excited for this game, but like at the same time, there are a lot of other things happening right now that like I'm more excited for. I'm just happy that Princess Peach is getting another game. I mean, the last one she got was actually kind of, it was good. Looking back on it, a little sexist, but good. Just not the best interpretation of that character, I guess, because a lot of it had to do with just her emotions and having a bit of a weird, like, mood swing gameplay kind of thing, which I don't think is meant to be anywhere near or close to as offensive as it might end up seeming nowadays when you think back on it, if that makes any sense, or like look at it with like a critical eye. Because obviously, I don't think that was the intention in any way to make it that way, but it's like one of those things where you look back and go like, you know, I could have did that better. Could have just did that better. But this has like a really cool, I like the stage play effect of it. I still like the aesthetic of it. I think the idea of having her jump between jobs and doing a bunch of different costumes and stuff like that, really fun. And changing the gameplay based on those costumes is doing crazy enough. It's given Balan Wonderworld, but like doing it way better than that game ever did. Plus, on top of that, it has the entire influence of, well, Nintendo behind it. So Nintendo has a tendency to just never put out a bad game for the most part. Looking at you, Pokemon, you guys are the main ones slacking. But you know. They tend to put a lot of polish into their games. So by default, this is going to feel 100 to 200 times better than anything Balan Wonderworld was. Unfortunate times for Balan Wonderworld, but Princess Peach Showtime is kind of cool. Check it out. It's coming. I don't think it's already out or not. Actually, I was looking at the trailer and didn't let it finish so I could figure out if it's out or not. Yeah, it is. It's totally available. Oh god, no, I clicked on the wrong thing. It's totally available now. So, you know, if you want to go play it, go play it. let's see what else we got. We have the Library of Ruina, which this is an Arc System Works game. This is already gonna be kind of cool. Okay, I don't think I actually watched this trailer. So I'm gonna take a quick peek of this one because this is one of the ones that I'm like. I remember seeing they have a new unique game coming out, but I knew nothing about what it was. And I think if I look at this properly, hey, can you let me go to the thing properly? Thank you, YouTube, for allowing me to see this. Okay, so they have the Japanese voiceovers for the librarian and that revealed. I want to see. Okay, basically, our synopsis is that our protagonist stumbles into a musical, a mysterious, not musical, mysterious library, only to find himself as a co-star of an abled an esteemed act with a library director teetering between lives and wishes. This is I'm trying to see what the gameplay is because it's talking about unraveling mysteries, which I mean, I like mysteries. Mysteries are a vibe. That is rolling. Master Strategies and Luck with Library Battle Simulation. So there is fights. You are fighting. And I'm looking for it. I'm looking. Give me gameplay. Can you give me gameplay? Oh, I know this. I mean, it's got. Actually, it's got mobile game vibes. It's kind of crazy because it's being done by, like, Arc System Works. In fact, it makes me want to. Let me look. I'm not gonna lie, if this is a mobile game, because initially this looks really cool, I'm gonna lose some. I don't see anything. It's going on sale soon though. On the 25th. It's a PS4 game. Okay, cool. So it's just a dope RPG on PS4. It's got like strategy elements. From what I could tell, it doesn't look like a gacha. It looks like a one in the more traditional sense, maybe like a more simplified RPG based on the little bit of gameplay I can see in the background of stuff. So kind of hoping that it's just a full-on fun time and not something I would despise. But check out the trailer so you can see for yourself because you know, I just don't know enough about it currently. We also have Soul Covenant. So there's a couple of these like anime games that are getting like launched soon. Also, breaking news apparently, because I just saw this. Blood of Zeus is getting a new season. Season 2 trailer is right here too, so I'm gonna look at that in a bit. but Blood of Zeus was fire. Soul Covenant, though, on the other hand, this is its launch trailer. Oh, yeah, it's a PSVR game. So, I think I've seen this. Yeah, no, this looks cool. Anime-style game where you're fighting mechanized angels and demons. Looks like a fun time. Something to play on your PSVR 2, if you have one. So, you know, go ahead and enjoy that. I'm wondering if this is... It's a PlayStation trailer, so I'm assuming it can't tell me if it's launching on anything else. But if it is, I'd say go check it out. Looks fun, right? Go look into it, see if it's your fancy, it suits you. Let's get into Moonglow Bay, which officially is out. I think we've talked about this one on the podcast multiple times, so go check out the launch trailer. It's fun times. It's fun times. Go look at it. It reminds me of Roblox in a lot of ways, I'm not gonna lie. Or actually, its aesthetic is more. It's like a 3D pixel box kind of style. It's more closer to Trove than it is Roblox, for those of you that know what Trove is. We also have an Earth Defense Force game, which is also in a voxel style. We have an Earth Defense Force World Brothers 2, which, I'm gonna be honest, you know how we feel. This game is already probably going to be a banger because it's Earth Defense Force. I don't even know if it's not going to not be a banger, but it's Earth Defense Force, and those are usually always fun. But they're niche, so just know that if you've ever played an Earth Defense Force game or seen one or seen anything about them, it's about soldiers fighting giant bugs, and then just seeing how that escalates, because that's not where you end up in those games. That is not the conclusion point by any means. So that's gonna be fun. Can't wait to see what happens there. All right. So, as we continue through this thing, so, off rip, Blood of Zeus looks really cool, obviously. The second season we're dealing with, it looks like, from what I can tell, because granted, I'm watching this on mute a little bit, we're dealing with the idea that Zeus is dead, and playing around with the idea of, like, our main character's, like, brother needs saving, as well as another coup, so to speak, happening in the waves. So, I'm kind of interested in looking forward to it. One of the things is that they have our boy. I keep wanting to say Zagreus, Hades fan, but that's not him. Our boy's with, like, this like electric, like lightning gauntlet thing going on, and seemingly like he's becoming more and more like his father by realizing his powers more than he ever did before. That's looking kind of cool. After that, I want to mention Destiny 2 of all things, because the new DLC is coming out, Final Shape. They showed off what the new subclass is going to be. They actually showed off a bunch of gameplay footage. That's like 16 minutes of gameplay footage just breaking down what they're doing exactly. New subclass, Prismatic. Looks insane. Like, just putting this out there, if you haven't played Destiny 2, well, if you have played Destiny 2 or played the original Destiny, this is a jump that I think a lot of us never saw coming truly. Just because of how the game has worked throughout the entire all the years, stuff like that. But Prismatic is an entire subclass in which they're basically like, bump it, make your own subclass using the pieces that exist in the game already. So we're talking you essentially using bits and pieces of your entire subclass that you've already had, of each of them, to just reforge yourself into some crazy, stupid, broken thing. Or close to broken, I guess is what I should say. So, like, you're grabbing pieces from your Strand subclass, your Stasis. Like, if you want your Stasis melee to be around with your Hunter Dodge, because I'm just gonna use Hunter, because I'm a Hunter Man out here. With your Hunter Dodge, with your Solar Dodge, I should say. We'll use the Solar Dodge, and you want your Void Grenade and your Arc Super. Like, you could do that essentially. And it sounds crazy. And then there's a bar for Transcendence, which apparently directly fuses a bunch of the things from it that you can activate. So it's like, it's not like it's super. It's like you're using the powers and it gains this meter, and you become like this crazy fusion version of it that's like even better than what you were already doing. So technically you get like a devil trigger, essentially, for those that play Devil May Cry. You get a devil trigger on top of you having a super, which is wild in its own right. And then on top of that, it's basically prismatic seems like the kind of thing that it's considered an advanced class, is what they said. Everybody in that game is trying to get to that now. Like, it's that crazy of an idea that, like, you're just, like, playing, if you played from Destiny 1 all the way through, and I don't think you can play Destiny 1 anymore anyway, if you played from Destiny, beginning of Destiny 2 to all the way through, you're just trying to make it to this subclass. Because once you do that, the game just apparently opens up incredibly. Like, the amount of stuff that you could just do as far as putting things together, and then on top of that, they're introducing a class item. They're bringing back class items, for one. Exotic class items. But in those class items, they are apparently very much focused on the prismatic thing, right? But they're saying, hey, you can now re-roll these things to get exotic perks from different exotics, even ones that do not belong to what you should be doing. So you can get a Titan exotic perk, and that's the thing. The exotic perk, it keeps two. So you can get, which is wild to think about, but it has two exotic perks from other exotics. Crazy. So you can, let's say, because I haven't played Destiny in a minute, so I'm going to use the ones that I know. Let's say you get the one from Titans, where it's the jetpack that lets you hover in the air for a bit, right? The chest piece. I'm trying to remember what the name is, but it's slipping my mind. You can get that perk, right, on your hunter exotic class item, as well as, let's say, the weird one, the one that gives you a special version of your dodge. It was like it used to do that, I guess that's what I should say. The void helmet that you had, for hunters, because I cannot remember what they are. It's been a minute since I've played Destiny, like, in general, but you can use that one, right? Graviton's Forfeit, I remember that one, maybe. You can get that exotic perk and that other one onto that class item, and now you have two perks from that, because I couldn't think of anything for the Warlock. That just, you have one that belongs to you and one that doesn't belong to you, just on your character, that now adds to this prismatic element of yourself, where you're now, as a hunter, you have the capacity to float in the air and shoot at dudes, then falling to the ground, hitting a dodge roll that stuns everyone, like, or like, does the, we'll say, like, the void one that, like, suppresses everyone around and makes them, like, kind of can't see, right? So you're doing that to people, but then you have, like, the ability to where you could throw a throwing knife. Well, you could throw a shuriken, but it has, from what I can tell from the way they're talking about it, but it has the perk from the hunter's throwing, the hunter's, like, shoulder throwing knife, where, like, if you get a precision hit, it impacts, like, it resets itself, right? But you're throwing the shuriken, like the stasis shuriken, so now it's bouncing off of opponents, and you're getting precision hit, precision hit, precision hit, and then you might have the perk that also, like, when you get precision hits, gives you back grenade melee, right? So, like, you get 1, 2, 3, you get your shurikens back, but then on top of that, now your grenade's full, and you throw that out, throw it again, throw another shuriken, ping, 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 and then suddenly you got your grenade back again. Like, it's, it sounds like they're trying to crack the game open in a way that's never been done before, and I'm very appealed to this, because one of my favorite ways of balance when given to the game is not no balance entirely, but they're just like, hey, let's just break this, let's just take everything we know and just break it, and then see what comes out, and then we can play with those toys, right? We can play with those toys, and now everyone's got, like, it's the Marvel vs. Capcom rule. If everyone's broken, then nobody is broken. It's kind of fun, but in a way, and that's still kind of like, they're tweaking it and being like, okay, this might be game-breaking, so we're gonna remove this a little bit, or dial it back when used in combination with this, things like that, to kind of just make sure you're not outright breaking the game. But you're gonna do it, because let's be real, Destiny fans have been trying to do build crafting stuff since Destiny 1, and that had a little bit of it. I can't imagine. And then on top of that, with the rolls on guns and things like that, people have been trying to crack this system wide open for a minute, right? And they have, they've done it a couple of times. At this point, we're talking about, they're like, hey, dude, we're giving you the keys to the castle. Break it the fuck open. Have fun. And I'm down for that. If you were just telling me to just have fun with your systems and the tools that you've given me this entire time. You're just like, hey, the limiters are off. Do what you want. And that's going to be sick. So if you're a Destiny 2 player, or if you were into Destiny 2 and stopped and left for a while, I think it's looking like a really good time for you to come back. And that's wild. But let's also just move through the rest of this docket, because we also have some other things to talk about. So, we also have Arena Breakout with a Bruce Lee crossover. That's fun. Season 4, that's a thing. Mega Man, oh, I said Mega Man, that is Pac-Man. Pac-Man Mega Tunnel Battle. Chomp Chomp pre-order trailer. I don't know why it's called. It does say Chomp Chomp right there. Hey, do you like Pac-Man? They're making a crazier version of Pac-Man. And I enjoyed playing crazier versions of Pac-Man, because the crazier they get, the more fun they are. So this is what we're getting on this one, which is going to be kind of sick, and I'm looking forward to it. We also have the Goons Legend of Mayhem trailer, which, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, it's a bunch of minigames, essentially. It is, they have the launch trailer for it. It's fun. It looks kind of fun, honestly. Good party game to play with your friends, constantly doing a bunch of different objectives. It looks predominantly like hockey, which is like why it's funny, but it's hockey meets fantasy, and it's a bunch of random ways of playing the game. So it's kind of sick in that regard. It's actually a really cool, unique idea, which I think is kind of cool. We also have the Kinds of Kindness trailer, which looks actually quite funny. It has Emma Stone in it. Hoping it's really good. The second one has existed, so I think we talked about it before. Officially, Fortnite has the Avatar Elements thing going on right now. So Aang's in the game, Katara's in the game, Toph's in the game, and Zuko's in the game. So now that they're in the game, we can have all four bending styles, along with Korra, who's already there. So we have water, earth, fire, air. Gotta mess around with that. Go test it out if you enjoy Fortnite. By all means, they're always doing something crazy. We'll also just mention this because it's in the news and it's kind of, well, not inherently nerd culture, but it's to pop culture nonetheless, I guess. So OJ Simpson is dead. He died at the age of 76 after battling cancer. And I just feel like the world should probably know about that one. That just seems like something you guys should probably just know about, to be fair. It's a thing. I'm not gonna speak on that situation by any means. It just seems like the kind of thing to just stay away from in general. But mention it just to let you guys know that it did happen. We also got Stellar Blade. We have a trailer for it. I played the demo for that. That game is gonna be really fun. I can already feel it. I'm looking forward to playing it, actually, later this month. So, by all means, check it out. It's Stellar Blade is the sexy Bayonetta-esque Souls-like game. Sekiro-like game, I guess. Though it plays, technically to me, in a more funner way of playing those games. Boss fights are tough and frenetic and involve parrying, but playing throughout most of the game, like, enemies aren't that bad. Which is why it feels more like Bayonetta. You're styling on them, but when it comes to something tough, you have to really flock in and, like, figure it out, you know? We also got Remnant 2 with the Forgotten Kingdom DLC coming out. This looks really cool. Reminds me, I have not finished Remnant 2 yet, so I gotta get on that. Hopefully I could play some with Aaron and Pele now that the proper crossplay things is happening now, and we can actually like get a bunch of people to jump on and play some stuff. Overwatch 2 is having its season 10, which Overwatch 2 is doing its thing. I hate to be that way towards Overwatch 2, but like, I don't know what to tell it. It's been really disappointing lately, and I'm not trying to beat on it. It's just kind of like, hey man, like Blizzard's kind of a shitty company, and this game is not doing well because it's just not doing right by its fan base. We also have Battlefield 2042, another game that kind of came out pretty shittily as well. But I haven't been a Battlefield fan since Battlefield 3 and 4, I think. So like 2042 probably could have gotten me back in, but apparently after the initial bit where everybody's like it's kind of shitty, they fixed themselves up. It's kind of too little too late. I don't know if they've actually done enough. I've never heard that it's been officially like good now. It's still like, from what I understand, it's not in a good spot. If you know if it is in a good or a good or not spot, let me know. Send me a little message, just letting me know that they actually did fix everything in the game or whatever like that. Maybe I'll jump on it because I prefer future shooters in a lot of cases. So I might like Battlefield 2042, but unfortunately, it kind of lost my interest by just not being very good when it launched. So, well, I mean, hit us up on our Twitters, paper_action, and I'll just see it. I'll check it out if it actually is. Let's see. We also have Can't Stop. Wait, what? The Last Stop. My bad. My last stop is in Yuma County. Ready for checking the middle of Arizona. I feel like this is a horror movie. I feel like, if I'm not mistaken, this is a horror movie. Get a restaurant, travel, a young traveling, well, a traveling young knife salesman is thrust into a high stakes hostage situation by arriving at two similarly stranded bank robbers with no qualms of using about using cruelty and or cold hard steel to protect themselves from their bloodstained, ill-forgotten fortune. So, this looks like it could be tense. Not horror. Not horror. Suspense, more like, actually, from the sounds of things. This has Jim Cunningham in it. That's gonna be kind of fun. By all means, check that one out. Go ahead and take a look-see at that trailer. It looks fun. Looks like a vibe. Definitely got something I want to mention for sure, which is Slay the Spire 2. Can't wait. If you know anything about me, I don't know if I've ever actually talked about it on this podcast. Love Slay the Spire 1. That is a fun roguelike deck builder game. Like, it is a card game slash RPG, and it's addictive. I got that game like three different times. I have it on my phone. So that's gonna be fun. And obviously, let's talk about Risk of Rain 2, the other roguelike that are we just are we love. The official devotion update, which gives us well, I'm guessing a bunch of new items. In that, we also have a new map, and this is a little disappointing, but it's fine, but it's cool. We have a prisoner's skin for mercenary. The reason why it's disappointing is because I was hoping we actually had the prisoner as a playable character in Risk of Rain, but unfortunately, we don't. So, for those that know Dead Cells, that's who's here. But looking forward to new artifacts and things like that to add to the game because, as you know, we like Risk of Rain 2 over here. It's quite fun. I think, as well, on top of that, we have Flintlock, which the Season Dawn trailer, Flintlock still looks good. It's coming on its way. It looks fun. Genuinely looks fun. I can't wait for that one to come out. It's probably something I'm going to be messing around with. Still don't have an official release date. We just know summer 2024. So we'll see. We also have, I think this is a mobile game to be honest. We have Godzilla Cross King Kong Titan Chasers. Yeah, it's totally a mobile game. We're not gonna talk about it. let's see what else we got. We got Roundup Punishment. Roundup the Punishment. This actually looks really cool. This is a Kung Fu movie basically starring Don Lee. Must I don't want to mispronounce his name. I don't want to mispronounce his name. For anyone that knows, let me see. Yeah, Don Lee, it says Don Lee. I think his what got confused was the wording in the description made me think that like his basically his main character name, the character's name was actually like the actor's name. It messed me up. But for those that don't know who that is, yo, have you seen Wong in Marvel? That's him. I kind of can't wait to see this one. This looks actually really fun. As you know, we like action movies over here, so that's always a vibe. Let's see what else we got. We have Hyper Light Breaker. We have another like mini boss reveal, a little bit more talking about that game. Can't wait. Looking forward to its open world roguelike aesthetic going on. First of all, Hyper Light Breaker is hopefully really good in comparison, because I trust Heart Machine, because they make cool games like Solar Ash and, well, the original Hyper Light Drifter. So those games are fire. We have Jolten Slayer, which looks fun, honestly. The idea of like, oh yeah, no, we're fighting the Norse gods again is also one of those things. I think it's cool. It's a vibe, top-down perspective, you know, get your vibes in for Diablo. We got another Sandland trailer. Sandland is we got the custom official custom battle armor trailer, so that one's gonna be fun. Like I said, we got Into the Light, which is a thing that's out now. It's like an update that's giving it's bringing back some new stuff as well into the game. Let's see, Crown Wars Black Prince, which I believe is a strategy game in which you can, yeah, it's a strategy game. I think you can jump into the bodies of certain people. Let's see. Let's see what else, what else, what else? Let's see. Scrolling through it. We have Beyond. Oh, we have Beyond the Ice Palace 2, which is kind of cool. I mean, for those who like Metroidvanias, this is an homage for sure to Castlevania, more than Metroidvania. It's actually more so Castlevania than anything else. So check that one out. See that a cool announcement trailer for that one that shows gameplay. Thank goodness, because everybody knows that that's what we want. We also have Ultra Mega Cats, which I'm not gonna lie, looks kind of fun. It's a third-person shooter with cooperative elements, and it looks like it's vibing. It's got weirdly an Overwatch aesthetic to it, which is fine as far as UI is concerned, because it's gonna look clean, but sometimes you also kinda wanna look like a little bit of a better one. We also have the trailer for Joker. I'm gonna let the boys get more into that one when we get back around to it, because I haven't seen the first Joker. So I'm not the person to really, as much as I'm a fan of comic books and stuff like that, the Joker movie didn't appeal to me originally, and as time is going on, I want to essentially allow those who did pay attention to it, who did watch it, to kind of get their more of a better thoughts and opinions on that one. But what I did play is Killing Floor 2, and I'm super hyped to know that there is a Killing Floor 3A and that they're doing cool stuff with it off rip. I'm looking forward to playing this one with friends. I'm hoping it does the free thing like 2 did, because that was a vibe. But the Chrysalis reveal trailer is a thing, or Sis, not Chrysalis, Sis reveal trailer is a thing, and you guys can always go look at that, because it's a vibe. And then we have finally the Loretta trailer. If I'm not mistaken, Loretta is a horror game. Yeah, it's a 2D horror game that has some really creepy vibes going on to it within the trailer alone. So this one is also out now. If you want to go play Loretta and want something that's going to scare the pants off of you while also being in a 2D environment, and doing a lot of really cool stuff with their art, enjoy that one. That one's gonna be a vibe. So, without further ado, I'm going to bring this episode to a close, because I am currently running out of time to do things. I didn't realize how much time had actually passed for me. So, I mean, granted, this has been like an hour for you guys, so it's not that long, but I've kind of been looking at some of the other stuff here and there while we were talking, and I didn't, like, before I started actually recording, and I didn't realize how much time had actually passed. So, I'm going to have to bring this one to a close. Not really trying to rush it, though. But you guys have a good one. Enjoy your days, as always. Go check out, well, all of our stuff, usually. You can follow us and ask us questions at paperplayaction@gmail.com or hit us up on Twitter or Thread. Well, the app formerly known as Twitter and Threads, at paper_action. And if you would like to buy any of our like t-shirts, hoodies, memorabilia, stuff like that, hats, you can go check out that stuff at paper_action on Instagram, because that is where our storefront is, and you can put in an order there and we'll get it to you guys. As far as everything else goes, like I said, enjoy yourselves, tell people about the show, let people know we exist, because that helps us out, and word of mouth goes a long way, genuinely. But talk to people, put a rating on whatever platform you're listening to, because I don't know, I just thought about it. Just put a review. If you think that it's a good time, put a good review, I guess. It's fun times. Things of that nature. And I'm trying to remember if there's anything else I am forgetting to tell you guys about, but spread the love is usually the normal one. And other than that, just take care of yourself. Be safe out there. Be good. Don't be a shitty person to other people, and enjoy life, because, well, life is short for the most part, and not to end on a dour note, but you should just enjoy yourself and the time that you're with people. Appreciate those that are around you, because you never know what might happen. So, without further ado, we are out of here. Bye, guys.